Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome back to the table. I'm your host, Cody Dewitt, and sitting across the table from me today, just one of my favorite people in general, Brother Vernon Osborne.
How you doing,
Brother Cody? I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Better than I deserve, that's for sure.
Oh, me and you both. Well, folks, right off the bat, I just want to say that we're going to be covering a topic today that we have not discussed before on the show, but something that we both feel needs to be discussed, something that Brother Vernon is personally very passionate about, and that is the subject of suicide. Now, I know that some of you may not be comfortable with talking about that, with listening to that. That's, I understand that. I get it. It's not going to be for everybody, but it is going to be for somebody. And I believe that God is going to use this to help someone through this. And so, Brother Vernon, before we get started, you had something that you wanted to say.
Yes, I am. Just want to start out, I guess, as they say, for the record, that I'm not a doctor or a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and so I'm not going to be giving any medical advice. If there's anybody out there who is suffering from suicide, as far as the urge to do it, which I'm sure that there is, then we would encourage you to find some help for that, and we'll have some things in the description for that. Again, I'm not a doctor, psychiatrist, or psychologist, but I am a licensed minister who has personally battled suicide in the past, and I've pastored those who have both battled and attempted suicide in their past as well. And it's something that I'm really passionate about because it's so widespread. And in a lot of different circles in our society, it's actually just like a taboo type subject, which to me makes it that much more worse and hard to pull out of for those who are suffering with it.
Do you think that a lot of the taboo around it is a result of just not fully understanding what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, I believe that a lot of it has to do with that. And it seems to me that there is a stigma that just is a carryover from hundreds, if not thousands of years in the past, mm-hmm. where it's almost like there's a curse from God. But the word says that he became the curse for us.
Right.
And so there's a way out. He took all of our shame. There's no reason I don't feel any longer to be ashamed of having thoughts about that. It's just something that God needs to help us with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what are some of the statistics regarding suicide that you've got today?
Well, according to the World Health Organization, each year approximately 1 million people die from suicide, which represents a global mortality rate of around 16 people per 100,000, or one death every 40 seconds, if you really want to put it into perspective.
Wow.
And it is predicted that by 2020, just a short time from now, that death rate will increase to one every 20 seconds.
My goodness.
And in the last 45 years, suicide rates have actually increased approximately 60% worldwide. It's now among the top three leading causes of death among those aged 15 to 44. Suicide attempts are up to 20 times more frequent than completed suicide. So there's a lot of dynamics involved in that, and it's a killer.
What do you think is one of the largest contributing factors to actually taking that step to an attempt?
One of the leading contributing factors,
yeah,
in my humble opinion, is a lack of God. Right. And it's not that God is holding himself back. It's that suicide is a malfunction. It is something that is wrong. It is a deviation from God's plan for people's lives. It's not God's intent. We are assigned, the scripture says that it's appointed unto man once to die. So we do have an appointment. God has set that. Everybody knows that. We all die.
Right.
But for somebody to want to take their life, there's something missing inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably, it's God.
Yeah. A God-shaped hole that only he can fill.
That is correct. With me personally, that hole that was inside of me, that sin had eaten away, and left. I tried to fill it with many different things, and I went to psychiatrists and I went to doctors, and they tried to fill it. They tried to fill it with medication. They tried to fill it with counseling sessions, and those things helped to alleviate some of the symptoms. But inevitably, the root cause of it was still there. Mm-hmm. And no matter how I tried to pull away from it, it always seemed to, forgive the term, but it seemed to haunt me. You know, I thought I was free from it, but then, you know, other circumstances would come into life, and then that thought would come back in, well, why don't you just go ahead and suicide out of this whole thing and just forget it? And one day I realized that the medication could only take me so far.
Right.
And I'm not, again, this is just my opinion, I'm not a doctor. And the medication, if you need it, you need it.
Yeah.
And but what I, for me personally, what I can say personally is the medication only took me so far. And I didn't want to be bound to a pill bottle the rest of my life. I wanted to be free from this thing. I wanted to live. I wanted to be, you know, the normal person with the white picket fence.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I wanted to go and you know, spend time with my family and live. You know, instead of being bound by this, because on the medication, there's always that fear, what if I run out? What if they change it? And the medication had side effects. But for the record, if you need medication, I'm not a doctor to right. advise for or against that.
Absolutely. Now, what are some other statistics regarding suicide that you've got today?
Well, the Eastern Mediterranean region and Central Asian republics have the lowest suicide rates, which is kind of interesting in and of itself. Nearly 30% of all suicides worldwide occur in India and China. China being a very religiously oppressed or repressed, however you want to term that, a communistic society. Suicides globally by age are 55% occur between 15 and 44 years of age, and 45% are aged 45 years and over. And another interesting and sad statistic is youth suicide is increasing at the greatest rate out of all of the categories.
Hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, there are several causes that that I feel are directly attributed to this. Upon studying it out, I did notice some interesting statistics on some other things that some people have tried to connect, but these things are not very popular. They're not brought forth as much as I think that they should be brought forth. But for instance, the quality of life now is better than it's ever been. I mean, I can walk and flip a switch and I got light.
You know,
we have bottled water here.
Praise God.
I can turn a key and have a seat in a comfy little chair and I get motored all the way to where I need to go.
Yeah.
I don't have to walk. Mail gets delivered, you know, to a little box out in my front yard. When I want to cut my yard, there's a machine. I just pull a string on and push it around for a few minutes, and it cuts my grass. Quality of life is, from a worldly or a secular standpoint, technological standpoint, it's better now than it's ever been before. Medically speaking, life expectancy is at a nearly all-time high worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
We went from, in 400 years, 450 years, we went from life expectancies that were in the mid-30s all the way up to, regularly, you will see octarians and people in their 90s and people even passing that century mark. This indicates that people are healthier and wealthier and endure less physical suffering than any other time in history, especially globally speaking. And so it does ask, it begs the question, why? Is suicide, why has that rate risen to up to 60% higher in the last 45 years? Quality of life has risen. Technology has risen. But suicide is keeping track with it and outpacing our life expectancies. And it's the number 11 leading cause of death in the United States and third globally.
Do you think that any of it, maybe especially among young people, but absolutely among, you know, everyone, do you think any of it could have anything to do with a society of comparison because of social media. You know, we see these celebrities on their Instagrams or their YouTube channels, and we see their life, you know, quotes around that that is highly doctored, most of it, you know, and the billboards, and you see them and they're on top of the world, and that's the way that, you know, quote unquote, life should be. And then you look at your reality and it's just not lining up. Do you think it could have anything to do with that?
I do think that social media has a huge impact on the suicide rate and many other factors that affect people's mindsets and whether or not that they, you know, the severity of depression that they experience. Social media is almost entropic in nature. You've got such extremes in social media. As you said, you know, somebody gets on there and hey, we got a new car.
Yeah, Lamborghini.
But you don't post in there on Facebook that, you know, it took you 3-4 years to save the money for it, and you don't post on there how much overtime and the arguments that maybe ensued with your spouse you don't put on there your bills and the fact that maybe now you can't pay your electric bill on time, or, you know, we don't see those things. And so there's a pool. Well, I want to do that. And then on the other end of it, you know, we get to post on social media that, you know, I need help or my life is falling apart. It's just a world of extremes.
Mm-hmm.
And what it tries to do, what I feel like it tries to do, is it tries to blend that and dull everything down. And but yes, as you said, it can play a huge part.
So why has the rate of suicide risen so much in such a short period of time?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, as they say.
Right.
There are many who would give opinions on this, of course, me being one of them. But there's some other statistics, too, that statistics are such cold things.
Yeah.
But we have to take them into account to bring things into focus. And there are some statistics that are alarming. A lot of people would say that these are separate, that they don't have any bearing one on the other. But I would disagree with that. One of the most striking statistics is spirituality worldwide, globally, and spirituality here in America. Church attendance, I think we can all agree, no matter what mindset that you're from, church attendance is on the decline. Gallup polls indicate 37% attend church now, which this poll is unlikely. There's what's called the halo effect.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that people who they call to ask these questions will say, yeah, I go to church.
Right.
But in reality, they really don't. And this halo effect goes into other statistics as well, statistics on alcohol. When people are questioned about how much they drink, they tend to skew their own answers because they're trying to portray a self-identification that they themselves don't even understand. So that 37% we can safely say is at the upper end. And there are other polls that contradict that and state that church attendance, especially here in America, is as low as 12.5%, which is not good.
Right.
Globally speaking, in the UK specifically, 70% of people in the UK identify with no religion anymore. 59% of young people in the United Kingdom never attend religious services, and nearly two-thirds of young people in the United Kingdom never pray.
Wow. My goodness.
These, to me, this is no coincidence. This indicates an alarming and a very dangerous trend that we're backing away from spirituality. We're closing church doors. There are more churches that are closing every year now than there are opening. I remember, I think, 7 years ago, I forget the actual statistic, but it was close to 50% of all men and women who are graduating from a seminary school or some type of religious university, 50% of them were turning in whatever license in whatever organization that they belonged to. They were simply giving up on, not necessarily giving up on God, but giving up on working for God.
Wow.
The laborers are decreasing. Church attendance is decreasing. physical churches are decreasing. And this is on a global scale. Now, there are spots in the world where church attendance is actually on the rise. And
right.
If you look at some of those statistics with them, suicide rates are coming down for them. We're not simply, I guess the summation of that is what I brought from it is we're not simply physical beings. We're not just the sum of our parts. But we are spiritual beings.
Absolutely.
That God has put into a physical body.
And even, you know, people that we wouldn't say are, and even I believe they wouldn't classify themselves as, quote, religious people, people recognize that we are spiritual beings. Now, sometimes they talk about their energy or their, you know, this person has good energy, this person has bad energy, you know, mm-hmm. et cetera, but don't really necessarily recognize the creator or a higher power of any kind. I just don't understand how, when it comes to suicide, that the spiritual aspect of it can be ignored. And it seems like it's almost completely contributed to mental health and mental health alone.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because the enemy understands that we are spiritual beings.
Right.
And the attack that is on society is a spiritual attack. If we were simply animals, then suicide wouldn't be a concern.
Well, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. There's a bombardment of secular-centric material, idioms, media, and education that has assaulted humanity in general, especially in developed countries. For instance, the average American youth, this is a mind blower to me, the average American youth will witness up to 200,000 violent acts on television before the age of 18.
Wow.
91% of movies on television contain violence, even extreme violence. Several researchers have described an increase of violent content in movies despite the national rating system. They've tried to control it. They've tried to put it into categories and tried to warn parents. But at the end of the day, it's money.
Right.
And for instance, PG-13 films, they have more than tripled since the introduction of the rating in 1985, and at the same time, the amount of gun violence in those PG-13 films went right up with that. They tripled as well. It's also noted that in 2012, popular PG-13 films contained significantly more violence than even rated R films. And so what we're seeing here is a specific target. The enemy's always after children. He starts young. And by the time, in some parts of the country, you stand a 9% chance of dying before you're even born.
Right.
And so once you survive that, then you're born into a society that is trying to push secular ideas to extremes. And then your child has to go to school, and they face all of their peers. And all of their peers, these statistics apply to them as well. There's up to 4 televisions in every single American home. And coming across these televisions are content that, pardon the expression, but would make Satan blush.
Right.
People are killing people. Not just killing them, but they're maiming them. There is graphic depictions of death. Suicide is romanced. It's portrayed as a heroic thing to do now. And by the time that the child grows into young teen years, they have seen tens of thousands of violent acts, and they're going to school with an entire society of other peers who have seen the same thing. And then they go home, and when they turn off the television, they put in video games, and over 90% of video games have some type of violence involved in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about Bugs Bunny type violence here.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about, you know, violence that 50 years ago, if you would have seen that, you would have been you'd have to get you some psychiatric help.
Right, absolutely.
That stuff sticks in the brain. But now there's such a desensitization to that, that it's nothing for a kid to talk about death. Right. I drive a school bus. And some of these kids on these school buses, I hear them in the back, and they're talking. Yeah, he blew his head off, he ripped his arm off, I know this is kind of, maybe we're moving into rated R material here on the podcast, and I apologize, but it's a reality.
It is. It's real life. These are stuff that people are dealing with.
And this bombardment takes its toll on the spiritual man. And this is not even including what I would call average struggles that people face on a daily basis. Even if you take all of social media away, and you take all of television and all of movies, you know, we're still having to work and pay bills and put up with you know, people's attitudes on a daily basis, drivers cutting us off in traffic, sickness in the family, death, you know, just on top of the average, society is assaulted with pure, unadulterated violence.
That's so true. Now, we've talked about some of the problems. We've talked about the statistics, and we've heard just the general reality of the situation regarding suicide. But what are some of the solutions?
Well, the main solution, obviously, is God. We'll hit the end of this thing right now and just say that you are a spiritual person. I am a spiritual person. And suicide is a malfunction. It is a departure from God's plan, and it is God's desire to bring us back to Him, into a life that's not only productive, but it's a life that is filled with joy. The Bible says joy unspeakable. It doesn't mean we're going to be flooded with new cars. You know, actually, right. It could mean the opposite.
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." That's the number one thing, is to understand that you were created. You are not an accident. We did not just form from some slime somewhere. To me, that is very belittling to what I call the human existence. You know, to think that, you know, I'm nothing. You know, I'm just a coincidence. I'm just a universal accident.
Yeah.
That is not the case. We were created with love, put in a place of love, and cared for by love. And Scripture also says in Romans chapter 8, says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." So we see here another path, another choice that we have, other than the secular side of things, other than the path of dog-eat-dog and the path of instant gratification. But there's another path here, and that path leads to a glorification of us. Jesus came and died for all. His sacrifice on Calvary made a way for all to have access to Him. The word predestinate there means to know beforehand. It doesn't mean that God has only chosen, you know, X amount of people to quote-unquote be saved. That's not what that scripture means.
Right.
What that scripture means is He knows beforehand. He knew who would need Him, and the sacrifice that He gave was based off of that. He knew, if you're out there today and you're embattled with the spirit of suicide, God's seen this ahead of time, and He's made a way for you. There's a church that you can go to. There are people that God has placed on this earth. There's ministries that can help you to find that other path, to find a way to live. Talking about predestination, I like to look at it as a flight path. And suicide is a catastrophic departure from that flight path.
Mm-hmm.
I preached on this the other night, where the example I used was in aviation, you have a flight plan that you file before you depart, you know, before you rotate off that runway. You're supposed to log where you're going, how fast you're going, how much fuel that you need, all this type of stuff. And you build some things in there in case there's a storm, you know, and you got some alternate paths that you can take. Right. Nobody says that, you know, that life is going to be perfect. God understands that. And he gave us mental flexibility to take some of these, you know, these blows that life throws at us. But the spirit of suicide comes along and it pulls us away from that flight path to the point to where we can't see, it seems like that we can't get back to that place that we call living, that place of joy and happiness. We don't have enough fuel. However you want to make the analogy, we don't have the mental strength to get back there. Things are, the enemy tells us your life is over. You're better off dead. You're better off, you know, just kill yourself and get it over with.
Right.
But as the scripture says, he's a liar. And God, yeah, you may have ran out of fuel. You may have got yourself in some pretty bad trouble and with addiction, with the law or whatever. But the sacrifice that God paid on Calvary's Hill cannot be underestimated. There is no sin that basically nothing that you can do that the blood of Christ cannot cover.
Right.
And he can bring you back to that flight path. And that's what that scripture means. Moreover, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. He's got a path for all of us. And I know I have been there in that place of life to where suicide seemed like the only way out. And it seemed like I couldn't even talk to nobody about suicide. Half the people I talked to said, well, just go ahead and kill yourself.
Right.
You know, there was an element of jealousy there for some reason, like I was trying to get attention. I wasn't trying to get attention. I was trying to survive.
Right.
I was just trying to live from one day to the next day, and I was just out of energy. I was out of breath. And God picked me up. And, of course, I had to make some choices. I had to make some decisions. But God was there with me to empower me to make those correct decisions. Now, the fact that someone is facing suicide often reveals that they are actually called of God to a very high purpose. And I'm not saying this is a requisite of ministry or the lack of it is disqualifying to ministry. But if you're facing suicide or thoughts of suicide, then I would tell you that that's actually confirmation that God is calling you.
Yeah.
Not obviously not to suicide and death, but he's calling you to a place of life in this life,
right
here. And he wants to work in you a miracle and pull you out of those depths and get you away from those things of death that would try to entrap us.
Jesus, the Bible says that he was tempted in all like manner. And we know that the Bible also describes that, you know, he was a man of sorrows. He walked around knowing what was going to be waiting for him at Calvary. Do you think that Jesus struggled with depression and suicidal tendencies?
He was certainly tempted. And again, I don't want to try to make myself anything more than what I am, but I'm not an expert in Scripture. But Satan did tempt him to jump.
Right.
And he said, go ahead and his angels shall bear you up, you know. And basically, I don't, you know, people say, well, Satan was trying to get him to jump and then angels would catch him. I interpret that as go ahead and jump and God will raise you back up. You know, just go ahead and end this and I'll give you all of this stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Jesus was tempted by suicide. The man Christ Jesus was looking, it didn't want to go to the cross,
right.
But the spirit that dwelt in him, made that flesh to submit to the cross.
And I say that the reason I bring that up is not by any means to confuse anyone. To, you know, because some people would hear that and say, well, he's saying that Jesus struggled with suicide, so, you know, XYZ. My point of that is that he knows how you feel, and there's nothing that you're experiencing in this area or in any area of your life where because he is God, he cannot relate. That's not true. And it includes this area of suicide, depression, anxiety, anything that would lead to it. He knows where you are. He knows how you're feeling. And he is the answer to, as we talked about earlier, that void, that hole that is there. Everything that you're desiring and everything that you're looking for is found in him.
Absolutely. And the enemy is always there trying to offer us a counterfeit to what God has for us. Suicide is an opportunistic animal. It usually will not affect a person with what I would call a healthy spiritual immune system. Mm-hmm. Somebody that understands, you know, what you said, hey, you know, this is a bad situation in life, I understand, but God's in control. He's going to pull me out of this.
Right.
People who have a grasp on hope, especially hope mandated by Scripture, the fact that there's a mansion built for us, streets of gold waiting, and in the meantime, in the interim, that he's given us the comfort, the earnest of our inheritance, mm-hmm. To help us through those bad times. Suicide is the opposite of that. And let's just go ahead and personify this real quick for the sake of conversation. We'll call it the spirit of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I think that most people that I have talked to would probably agree that, yeah, it's... At the least, they would say, well, it's like a force that's trying to come against me, and I can't get it off of me. But God can sure get it off of you. Suicide is not natural. It is unnatural. And if we can find the causes and get rid of those causes that make us feel that way, then things will start lightening up. You know, find out what is it that has got me in this shape. Well, why am I losing hope? And allow God to address those issues in your life. Seek help. Act on the innate desire in you to survive and seek assistance. And if you're too tired to go on, then let somebody else carry you.
Right.
But just don't give up.
Do not give up.
And that is correct.
Jesus said that he came not only that we would have life, but have life more abundantly.
Yes, sir, more abundantly.
So it is his will that you live.
That is correct. As I said at the beginning, death, I don't mean to, we're here trying to talk about against depression, so I don't mean to sound depressing, but you know, right. The fact is we're all going to die.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 45 years old, so statistically speaking, you know, I've got what, 35 years left. You know, I'm what they say, over the hill. So death is coming. You're going to die. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
But how do you live?
Right.
That's the challenge. That's why I get up in the morning and pray. That's why I get my face in that Bible and read, because it equips me. It makes my spiritual immune system healthy. You know, we got junk food in life, and then we've got healthy food. You know, the world's on this huge kick, and perhaps it's working because, as we read in the statistics, people are living to be 80-plus years old now.
Right.
And why is that? Well, a lot of it's due to medication, but a lot of it's due to an awareness of, you know, hey, I can't eat McDonald's all my life, which I actually had that for supper, so maybe I need to back
need
off.
Need to repent today.
I need to repent now. But the same thing happens to us spiritually. When we feed ourselves, society calls it media consumption, and it calls it that for a reason. We consume things.
Right.
We consume movies, we consume videos, we consume music, we consume so many things that are a detriment to the spiritual man that God's trying to grow inside of us. And after a while, those things begin to take effect, and they begin to warp our thinking. And then the enemy's right there trying to romanticize suicide at the same time. See, that's like the box of chocolate for Satan. It It's like the gold ribbon prize for Hill is to get somebody to commit suicide. That's mm-hmm. his ultimate goal for anybody, is for them to end their life. Because if they end their life, he has nothing to fear from them
right.
any longer. You know, their life is over. To him, that's one of his ultimate goals. And when you look at these different things that are poisoning people's minds, that's where they lead. It's a cheapening of life. It's a belittlement of the gift of God that God has placed us in, given us a breath that we could live and interface with a beautiful existence and have family and grow and have grandchildren. And the enemy's always there trying to get us to take another path. But if we can begin to consume things that are healthy, begin to consume Scripture, begin to consume time at church, it's so important to come to church. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of church attendance.
Amen.
You know, people go to the gym. Why do they go to the gym for? I don't like sweating. I mean, I don't
want to die sore.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to die full.
That's right. I paid a lot of money to get this stomach. Right, you know, there's exactly. a lot of calories that went in there.
Absolutely. Years of investment.
That's right. But people will do that. Man, they'll get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll go and they'll run. And I have nothing against that.
More power to you.
That's right. More power to you.
More food for me.
You posted on social media about how much you lifted, and I will give you a thumbs up.
There you go.
But if we can do that, more so, that applies to our spiritual existence. Remember, we are spiritual beings. We're not just a collection of protons, neutrons, and electrons that have organized themselves into. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
We've been created to house a soul. There's a soul inside of you.
Right.
And there's a spiritual man or spiritual woman inside of you that hungers for God. And if we'll start feeding those things in there on a daily basis, on a regular schedule, you're going to get sore.
Yeah.
Just like working out. It's going to hurt. Then there are sacrifices that you're going to have to make.
Going to get tired.
You're going to get tired. You're going to have to stop doing certain things and start doing other things. But if there's 1 ounce, anything in you that wants to move and to get out of this darkness, let me say this. Out of all the people I've asked and all the research I've done, most of the time, not all, and I don't have a number for you, but I can tell you that most of the time, the people who failed at their attempt at suicide, they have told me, when I pulled the trigger, when I took the pills, when I jumped, I immediately regretted it.
Yeah.
That's a common thread through all of it. They had been lied to. They had been deceived to the point to where they believed that the only way out was through death. But Jesus paid that price. He died for you, that you don't have to go through that type of death. And I thought that was so staggeringly sobering that most, and not all of them, but most of them did say, hey, I regretted it as soon as I did it.
Yeah.
But obviously these are from people who survived
right.
the attempt at suicide.
Right.
And so there is a way out.
There is. And if that's you today, I just, again, listen to this. If you have to listen to it over and over, just know that you have value, you have worth, and you're here for a reason. You're not an accident. Despite what the world may tell you, despite what your thoughts, your own thoughts may tell you, you were made fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says.
That is right.
And before you were ever in your mother, God knew you and had a plan for you. Don't believe the voice in the enemy that says that it's all for naught. It's all worthless. You're not worthless. You've got value, and God loves you very much.
Amen.
Amen. Well, brother, any final thoughts here today?
Well, I would just encourage anybody out there, if you are suffering from depression that is driving you to the point of considering taking your own life, seek help. Seek something. Try. Just try. And if you don't have the strength to get up, pick up the phone and call one of those numbers that will be listed. Don't take a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Amen. Well, brother, thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for participating in this.
Thank you for having me, Cody. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I've enjoyed it very much. And thank you, listener, for listening, and we'll see you back here next time.